Adobe Express is the quick and easy create anything app. It's a game changer for my business, my go-to for creating content. From social posts to images, videos, flyers, whatever I need to stand out. With customizable templates and smart features, it saved me endless hours. And the best bit, it's free. Search for Adobe Express to find out more and get started today.
You're watching and listening Peek to Pit, Ali Peek, TJ Pittenger, heading into week one of the college football season. Week zero is down. Florida State is 1-0, TJ. That has to feel good. You took Elena to her first game, and you walked out with the dub.
It's almost as much fun. I'm just trying to copy you here tonight, and so I went with a pumpkin beer. Are you drinking a pumpkin beer or no?
I'm drinking water tonight.
Oh, I see I have a water here. I have a coffee. Yeah, like we just got like
all the things,
all the drinks. No, the weekend was great. I couldn't imagine my team not being 1-0 right now. I don't know how that must feel for you peasants. But no, it was good. It was a great day. I won't spend too much on the day. We'll kind of jump into the football because I've talked about this a ton. But the day was a ton of fun. Elena did great on the car ride. I told you this. But yeah, I'm, like my kid's cute. Like, so I don't have any problem saying that. And like
That is true. I'll say it as a less biased person. Yeah. Elena's adorable.
So like imagine, maybe this happens to you, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. But imagine everywhere you went for an entire day and every person you met like just immediately told you how like cute you were, how pretty. Right. Oh, you're so pretty. You're so cute. Like you just automatically be in a good mood already, right? Like right. I wish people would treat me, even if they were lying, like they treated her. Because she was... It was a great day for her from that perspective. And then she got to take pictures with the cheerleaders. She got to go down on the field. She met some of the softball players. She saw Osceola and Renegade, which that's a really cool. Like I feel like little kids meeting out, like meeting a real live gator, like would not be a good thing. Like Albert's cool, but right. Meet, like a four-year-old meeting a real like that.
My meeting a horse, were kind of scared of Albert and Albert. Yeah. In Albert at the spring game, honestly.
Seeing the horse though, like as a kid, like that's amazing. You know, that's it's like cool. That's a cool. Mm-hmm. thing. And so yeah, she had a phenomenal day. We got tickets up in the it was given tickets up in the Champions Club, which is, you know, is very similar cool. to you guys' club seat. But you know, free popcorn, free ice cream, free juice, free water, like whatever she wanted, right?
So right. All right.
The popcorn, her two highlights were the popcorn and the fireworks that they shoot off when the players come out.
And they actually scored. Like, so there's probably a lot of fireworks compared to normal.
Yeah, it was pretty good for the team. She did a great job with the like raising her arms and stuff when she would watch other people raise their arms for touchdowns. Obviously, they scored a bunch of touchdowns. And so, it was really, really good. And she had a great time. We left at halftime. We came home. Game was over. Like, it was never in doubt. Like, we talked about this before. This team is so much worse than Jacksonville State. I also think Florida State has learned their lesson. Like if Florida State played Jacksonville State this weekend, they'd probably win by 30, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people do forget in that game that Jordan Travis also didn't play.
Right.
They still should not have been that close. But
no.
But anyway, it was a lot of fun. You kind of knew from the outset that it was not going to be competitive. Florida State did absolutely everything they wanted to in that game. And,
did you see anything that changed your opinion about your season total predictions for the year? Did you see anything that made you maybe more positive than you were going into that game? Or do you think that basically like they did what they needed to do? There was nothing that they showed that makes you think, you know, anything more than you had predicted before, but there's nothing that you saw that made you think less. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, so I'd still have the team at like 7-5. And I think I have that because I think that I predicted LSU would win this weekend and I predicted that Louisville would win in 2 weeks. Now, the hype of the moment may have me pick LSU at the end of this broadcast, but I think LSU is the slightly better team and you kind of do the season predictions early, you know, trying to be somewhat realistic. So all that said, like, no, nothing changed. I maybe feel like, you know, if I was at like, oh, you know, there's a 50% chance that they go 7-5 and then a 25% chance they go 8-4 and a 25% chance they go 6-6. Like I feel better about 8-4, right? Like, right. So I might move that up to like, okay. So I still think 7-5 is the most likely, but maybe you'd say like 50% at 7-5, and then like 30 or 35%. Like, it would shock me if this team only won 6 games outside of like a massive injury to a quarterback or something like that. Like, I feel really good about 7, and I think 8 is more likely than 6.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll see. But I probably felt that 8 was more likely than 6 anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I'm dancing around the fact of just saying like, no, nothing really changed for me. Like, there was no major weakness. There was no glaring hole. The running backs looked really, really good. It's hard to know how good that they really looked against a quality of opponent, but they looked really good. I mean, you had 3 guys go over 100 yards. That hasn't been done ever in 76 years of Florida State football. And we've played bad opponents before.
Of course, right?
So, you know, in 2012, Chris Thompson, Lonnie Pryor, Devontae Freeman, and James Wilder Jr. were on the roster. All 4 of those guys played in the NFL, and they never had a game where, you know, 3 of the 4 of them hit 100. So 3 running backs hitting 100 yards, I mean, that's just not very common. So I think there were positives to take away. There were negatives to take away. There were a couple of guys that got a little banged up. I think they'll all kind of be back this week, and so I'm not really worried about it. But nothing to change where I'd be like, oh, okay, well, now we're definitely beating LSU.
Right.
Right. Now, if we beat LSU, I'm probably going to say, hey, I think we beat Louisville, right? If we beat Louisville, then I'm probably going to say, like, hey,
if you beat LSU, you're beating Louisville.
I would hope so, you know?
I mean, barring some sort of crazy slip, LSU is a better team than Louisville is.
I think so. I think Louisville, we'll get into this when we play them, but Louisville has a better quarterback to me. Like, I think Malik Cunningham is better than Jaden Daniels, and so that worries me because I worry about our secondary a little bit, but – yeah, if you beat LSU, you really should not lose to Louisville. Like, it's kind
of
like,
honestly, if you beat LSU, there's not a whole lot of teams on your roster. On your schedule that you should lose to. LSU is one of the best teams on your schedule.
Yeah, I mean, if you beat LSU, you should beat Louisville. You should beat Wake. You probably still lose to NC State and Clemson. Like, those teams are ranked ahead of LSU right now for a reason. They both finished with 9-10 wins last year. Like, they're good teams. But then there's no reason you shouldn't be in the Miami game. There's no reason you shouldn't be in the Florida game. Like, if you can beat LSU, you should be in every game the rest of the way.
100%.
So we'll see. What do you think about your – so, yeah, nothing too crazy changed this weekend with the game.
Right.
I'll say this, too. Let me – go ahead.
I was going to say I didn't get to watch much because with the rain delay, the ACC network switched over to the North Carolina game. So there wasn't a whole lot that, you know – those of us that weren't there got to see outside of the highlights after the fact. But I mean, we talked about this last week. I think Florida State exceeded my expectations in terms of score, right? Like, I think I said it was going to be like 35-7 or something like that. And so, I mean, that's taking into account that reserves play. And we talked about this off the air already, but we didn't talk about it tonight. But like, everybody that FSU wanted to get in got in. Everybody they wanted to give some experience to got it. And so I think that that's like a piece of the puzzle too, when you look at what the score is, that that's actually an impressive score given the fact that you guys, didn't you have a walk-on center play the entire fourth quarter? You know, the love got spread around and there wasn't a drop off, and I understand it's Duquesne and they should perform, but most recently Florida State has not. So I think, you know, to win big in a game that you should win big is a step, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, last year they lost to an FCS opponent. The year before that, they were down by 14 against an FCS opponent. The year before that, they needed a missed extra point to beat ULM. The year before that, they were losing to Samford in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, it's not been a good go. Yeah, and they got a lot of backups in. Like, Jordan Travis played the first drive of the second half and then didn't play for the rest of the game.
Right.
If we'd kept the starters in, we would have gone for 60. You know, and yeah. I don't think there was any reason to do that.
Sure. No, I mean, that's just risking an injury. Yeah. It's silly.
So, yeah, I don't really make too much of the final score. The line ended at 41. They won by 40. So, you know, Vegas knows what they're doing sometimes. They scored on every drive outside of an interception. And then the last drive of the game, they punted. They didn't go for it on fourth and one up by 40. So I feel confident that they would have gotten that if they had gone for it. Just based on how they had been on the ground that day. So, yeah, I mean, it all comes down to this week. I think this would be the biggest – this would be the biggest win in Mike Norvell's career. This would be the biggest win for 100%. Florida State. This would be the biggest win for Florida State since beating, and you know, we argued about this last year, maybe the year before, but this would be the biggest win in Florida State's history since maybe Michigan in the bowl game. And I don't even think that was that important because Florida State was already a good team then. Mm-hmm. Right. And so this maybe like beating Florida in 2010, like when we were a bad team and like you started to turn the corner. Right.
Right.
And
right.
You know, obviously there were bigger.
Show that you were on the right path.
Right. But it's totally different. Right. This would be, you know, obviously the national championship was bigger than this game, but sure. you knew you were going to win that. Right. Like, or you knew you were supposed to be there. And so.
Well, you were there. So that's, you know, so right. I mean, national championships are big, but you've done what you needed to do to get there. Florida right. State has been kind of, you know, lost their way recently. So this would be a good step to head back to the right direction.
So we'll see. Let's do a quick shout out and we'll talk about this week's weekend's games. I want to give a shout out to Brunt Insurance, Greg Brunt and the folks over at Brunt Insurance from Tallahassee to the Keys. They'll take care of all of your coverage needs, home, car, boat, motorcycle, any kind of auto, any kind of home. If it's got wheels, they'll insure it. Motor home, trailer, doesn't matter. 954-589-2204. Greg Brunt, he's a Gator, but don't hold that against him. He's usually up in Gainesville flexing. I'm sure he'll be up there flexing this week. Catch him at White Buffalo. Greg Brunt with Brunt Insurance. Appreciate his support. Give them a call today. See if he can be. I am a believer in supporting those that support you. Greg owns my car insurance. He owns my home insurance. He saved me money on both. Give him a call today. See if he can save you money. He'll talk some football with you. If he can't save you money, he'll tell you. And he'll tell you to just stay with who you've got. But call Greg, 954-589-2204. All right, you guys winning this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Florida is winning this weekend. I am super, super excited for this game. Utah is a great team, right? They're coming in as the number 7 team in the country. They finished last season the Pac-12 8-1, finished the season overall 10-4. Remember that Rose Bowl where they just barely lost to Ohio State 48-45, maybe something like that.
Unlucky.
Came down
their
to the wire.
Went down,
I mean, their quarterback went down. There was just, you know, some things that didn't go their way, but they were in it all the way to the end. This is a good team. I saw a stat that they returned 66% of their starters. I think that Utah is a known entity, right? They have Cameron Rising as their quarterback. He is a junior. He's very good. They're a talented team overall with a lot of experience. I think Florida is essentially the exact opposite in that it's such an unknown, right? We know a lot about this Utah team. We know why they're ranked the way that they are. They've got some elite tight ends. They've got great quarterback play. Like, this is a talented team. We have no idea what we're going to see out of Florida. This is, you know, on paper, Florida is a talented team. They have recruited well, although not necessarily up to Gator standards. They've recruited better than Utah. Over the years that make up this roster. So talent-wise, there shouldn't be, you know, there's no discrepancy there. Florida has more talent. But this is a team we haven't seen play in this system at all, right? We're going to see what Billy Ball is going to look like in Gainesville. I think this being the very first game of Billy's era is going to mean that there's a lot of extra emotion in the stands, more so than there generally is for an opener, even though Florida's crowds are rowdy. It's a sellout crowd. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. I don't think that's something that Utah can fully simulate. They've told us that they've been, you know, trying to get ready by cranking up the heat in the indoor practice facility. And like, that's just not the same. So I think that that will be a factor, although I think that crowd and noise will be even more of a factor than the heat. But I mean, you know, you can basically chew the air in the swamp in September's. So when you're coming from Utah, that is going to smack you right in the face. I think as AR goes, so goes Florida's team. I think they have enough talent at wide receiver that if AR plays a good game, that should be enough for Florida to score enough points. I'm interested to see what Florida's defense does. I think that they just made so many critical mental mistakes last year that if that's something that got cleaned up in the offseason, this defense can look a lot better in a hurry because talent was never the issue.
Yeah, I do worry about Florida's defense a little bit in this game. I think the offense is more of a known even though Anthony Richardson was very like up and down last year.
I mean, this is a quarterback that played 33 plays total. I mean, we know what we saw out of him, but the reality is he played almost nothing last year. So I think that
33 plays. Is that right?
That's what I read. 33 plays last year.
No. He had 64 passing attempts.
Okay. Well,
last year.
Then we're going to have to correct Billy because he definitely talked about.
He had 51 rushing attempts and 64 passing attempts. So that's like 105. And then obviously he handed the ball off.
So two
off
games,
too.
If you, you know.
Seven. Because I feel like they just didn't. I just feel like they didn't give him much.
He was hurt a lot of the season.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was a big part of it. He's green. He's incredibly green. He's incredibly talented. We don't know what we have, right? We know that he's an athletic freak. We know that he has a cannon. We don't really know his football IQ yet. That's going to be something that you know, we're going to see transpire over, 33. So it's actually 38 completions. So the quote I'm probably remembering is 33 completions. What it's actually 38 completions, 64 attempts. You know, that's, and then he had three the season before.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how he reacts to that. I don't think Utah's strength is their defense by any means, right? But
I think that they're very susceptible to QB runs, which is interesting because that should be a strength of ARs. I think both of these teams are going to they're going to be run first teams, right? UF has a good stable of running backs. They should be able to carry the ball on the ground, but then they also have AR, which if you're utilizing him in the right way, you are utilizing his feet, right? Like that is a strength of his. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm interested. I'm excited. I feel like we really don't know a whole lot, but I'm excited to see. I think that I honestly feel better about Florida's defense than I do about Florida's offense. So that's interesting to hear you say.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I just think Utah's offense is really good. I mean, Florida's defense wasn't great last year by any means.
Right.
And so, like, I don't
but I think
know
that
so
much of that was
really
mental
enough
mistakes. That I don't know, that I think if those things get cleaned up, this defense gets better fast. And I also think that they were put in terrible positions a lot of the time. Some of the schemes that Florida ran last year were awful. So getting better defensive coaching, cutting down on mental mistakes, the talent is there. This should be a much more talented defense than Utah has offense. That doesn't mean that that's how it will play out, but talent-wise, individual player-wise, if you're talking Jimmy and Joe's, Florida has more on defense.
Yeah, I think it's can Florida's defensive line stop the run, right? Mm-hmm. I know there's some questions about defensive tackle depth for UF.
Right.
And so I think Florida has more talent.
Yeah.
But it's where your weaknesses are as opposed to another team's strengths, right?
Right.
I think Rising is really, really good.
And could
cause a lot of problems for if they can't get after him, like if the pass rush can't get after him.
Yeah.
That's bad
Utah
news
has,
for Florida.
Look, Cameron Rising is a great quarterback. They've got explosive running backs and they have really, really good tight end play. I think that Utah's O-line, at least last year, was pretty susceptible to the pass rush. And so if Florida's defensive line can step up and play well, that is an area that they should be able to impact. But I mean, Utah's gonna score their points, I think. But I personally am less concerned about Florida's defense than I am about Florida's offense. And I think that that's more than anything because it's just such an unknown. When you have a quarterback who is so green, it could be amazing, right? We just literally don't know yet.
And that's part of the worry too, right? Like, so Florida's strength, you hope, is Anthony Richardson, right?
Right.
Like, I think everybody is banking on that being the strength.
Sure.
Where Utah doesn't have a great defense. And so if Anthony Richardson is a strength, then they will be pretty successful.
Right.
If he goes, so goes this team, right?
Yeah. If Anthony Richardson does not have a good game, Florida doesn't beat Utah. That's going to be the same in every single game this entire season, right? Florida needs Anthony Richardson to perform. Florida is hinging their season success on him. And now that Miller is out with a thumb that he had surgery on, like there's not even anybody back there, right? So no. AR needs to stay healthy and he needs to perform to the level that people think that he is capable of performing.
Do you think they're more conservative with him running the ball because of that?
Yes. Because if he gets injured, they're screwed.
No.
At least at the beginning until they see, you know, what else they have out there. And I mean, this isn't going to be a game where you see a backup more than likely, right? Unless, you know, God forbid an injury.
Yeah, like that
would
be the only way.
That's so you don't know what you've got back there either, but you don't even know what you have your starting quarterback yet.
I think as you get later in the year, your chance of, I mean, just by way of playing games, your chance of losing him for multiple games goes down because you have less games to play. Well, so you may see them get more aggressive there, right?
Like, may have to, right? Like, they're not going to not get aggressive to not win a game. I don't, but they're not.
But to start the game. Yeah, I wouldn't have him running every other play.
No, but I think, you know, in general, you only show what you need to, right? You only push the envelope as much as you need to win a game in general when you have the entire season behind you. But, you know, I think that stadium is going to be rocking. I think that if AR, this is the friendliest crowd AR is going to see all year long. It should be incredibly loud and really difficult for a Utah team that is not used to playing in a scenario like this. Like all of the added things are in are in Florida's favor. All the things that, you know, outside factors. So if you can't pull off the upset here, it's going to get harder as the season goes on when you're going into way more hostile environments with outside factors you can't control that are not in your favor.
Yeah. Now, it's a big one. It's a big one to start off the tenure. If you lose this one, I think it's very much like, and we'll transition to some Florida State stuff here, but if you lose this one, it's very much like Florida State losing to LSU. It makes the Louisville game a must win. Well, I think if Florida loses to Utah, not a must win and like, oh, Napier's career or anything like that, but Florida then, another team from Kentucky, Florida can't lose a Kentucky game. Like you can't start 0-2.
Starting 0-2 would be really bad on a lot of fronts, not just for, you know, the mental state of this team, but also for recruiting, which has really turned a corner and people are buying what Napier's selling, but he hasn't shown any product on the field yet. So,
right. And what makes it tough is I think we both picked Tennessee to win the game.
We did.
Right? So Florida will come back home and beat USF, right? Even if or they'll stay at home, right? The Kentucky game's
they stay at home.
But if they start 0-2, beat USF, and they have to go to Tennessee. Now, not saying they couldn't beat Tennessee. I think they'll be in that game. I think
the top of game, I did pick Tennessee, but I think that that's an incredibly close ball game.
But if you start 1-3.
Not great. Hard to climb out of that hole, right? It is hard.
Especially for recruiting, because so many kids in recruiting decide earlier and earlier and earlier. And this is what it reminds me of. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not comparing these coaches in the long term. But what it reminds me a ton of.
I love that you preface that, because that means whatever comes out of your mouth is asinine.
Well, I think the situations would be similar.
Okay.
But I didn't want you to take it as like I was saying that these are exactly the same people.
Right.
But when Taggart got here, there was a lot of recruiting momentum. He had close to a top 10 class going into that Virginia Tech game. National spotlight. Everybody watching. Huge matchup. They lay an egg and lose. They lose the next week. They beat Samford, but they start out 1-3, and he loses all of the recruiting momentum. Now, Florida State never got it picked back up. They won 5 games that year, and they were just bad. Florida would have a chance to crawl out of that. But your margin for crawling out of that is very difficult.
The schedule doesn't get easier as you go on.
Right. You're going to lose. If you lose those first 3 games, I think we can all say you're probably going to lose to A&M. You're probably going to lose to Georgia. There's a good chance you lose to LSU.
Right. Maybe you lose the crapshoots. You definitely lose to the games that you should lose.
So I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen. I think they beat Utah. So like I'll just preface the whole thing by saying I think they win.
Sure.
But that's the scenario that it reminds me of. Taggart came in with a lot of hype. A lot of recruiting prowess. It was doing a very good job from all intent purposes. And then the games got played, right?
Right.
All the kids decommitted. The losses piled up. Sure. And he could just never pull out of that tailspin. I think Napier will be successful long term. Mm-hmm. I think he could start 1-3. And I'd still say I think he'll be successful long term just because I think he's that caliber of coach.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of the situation it reminds me of. That wasn't such a hot take. Like, I had to preface
a lot because I knew you were going to bite my head off. I
don't think that's what's going to happen. I'm just telling you, if it did, that's how I see it playing out.
I mean, listen, if Florida starts 1-3, recruiting more than likely takes a hit, regardless of how Napier continues on his tenure at Florida, whether he goes on to win 5 national championships or ends up fired in 3 years or whatever. If he starts 1-3, there will be guys that jump ship. That is kind of the nature of the beast. I don't see that happening. I think that they have prepared too well. I think that they are too talented. And I think that a worst case scenario is more likely 3-1. I think that there's an outside possibility. It's 4-0, right? Like if Florida beats Utah and Kentucky, sure as heck, I'm coming on here telling you they're beating Tennessee. So that Tennessee loss prediction in what I said would be the closest game of the season if they do lose is totally out the window, and a way too early preseason pick if they beat Utah and Kentucky, especially if it's convincingly, right? I don't think that Tennessee team does not have more talent than Florida has. I think that they've played longer together. I think that they've been coached by their coaching staff longer together. That is where that edge, plus you factor in Neyland Stadium. I think those are the outside factors that sway that for me at the moment. But you know, I don't see them starting 3-1, but yeah, that would not be great. It would not be a good kickoff to the Napier era to start 3-0. And it is hard to come back from because the schedule gets crazier.
Just
from
gets
there.
Tougher. Yeah.
Right.
I am interested. You mentioned Tennessee. I'm interested to see Tennessee and Pittsburgh. I think that's next week. I don't think that's this week. But I am interested to see that. I'm interested to see how they play that. Tennessee going on the road to Pittsburgh.
Right.
I don't think Pittsburgh is what they were last year, mostly just because they lost their best two players, one to the draft and one to USC. But I do think that that's going to be kind of a fun one to watch. If Tennessee goes on the road and beats Pittsburgh in a very tough environment to play in.
Yeah. I'm interested
team,
to see.
I think that says a lot about Tennessee. So no, at the same time, if you guys beat Utah and Kentucky, it says a lot.
Says a lot about that too. So Tennessee starts with Ball State on Thursday night. They are the first slate of games in week one. And then, on September 10th, they play at Pittsburgh, who's ranked 17 at the moment. What I want to see from Tennessee is I want to see them start different than they have the last like 5 seasons. Every time Florida plays Tennessee generally around week 3, it's usually around my birthday. That has, pushed back a week this year, or 2 weeks this year. But I think Tennessee always, when we get them, is like an ideal time. Florida beats them. We move on through the season. And then towards the end of the year, I'm always like, oh my God, thank God we're not playing Tennessee now because Tennessee looks so good. And I feel like that's literally the same story every single year. So what I want to know is, can Tennessee start the year how they've finished it the last few? I don't know where the disconnect is, but they really do improve so much as the year goes on generally, but they miss the mark at the beginning of the season every single year. So I want to know, has that changed?
Has it gotten different? Yeah. I like their coach. I like their AD. I think that they're in a better position.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. You know?
Yeah.
Or shut up time.
That's going to be, interesting to watch. Y'all have a huge game this weekend as well. Florida State plays LSU. I'm excited for you for this game. I don't know how often you've been to New Orleans, but New Orleans is one of my favorite cities in the country. I love New Orleans LSU weekend. Going to Baton Rouge is equally fun. That's, just a 45-minute drive down there. It is a super crazy, intense, fun tailgating scene. That stadium is outside of the Swamp, my favorite stadium to go to in the country. It is so loud, so intense. It's going to be a fun one. I'm excited for you to get to experience all that.
It's in New Orleans. I agree, though. Baton Rouge, the loudest.
Oh, I didn't realize you weren't actually going to Tiger Stadium. Sorry. No.
So I've been to Tiger Stadium. Well, I've been to one game there, but I've been to Tiger Stadium a couple of times. I went in 2016 when Alabama played them, and I sat in the end zone.
Okay. I think
Jalen Hurts' feet were in the end zone when he threw an interception. Now he threw like 30 yards down the field. So LSU intercepted around their own 30. And that was the first drive of the game. And I was down in that end zone. We had pretty good seats, right? Like close, but on an end. I've never heard anything that loud in my life. Like, I was there when Florida played Auburn, and the kid like took off down the sideline and the place just went berserk. I've been at top five matches at Doak. I was there when Clemson played Notre Dame in overtime. Like, I've been to some fun stuff.
One of the Tigers college stadiums, and it's so freaking loud. It was so loud.
It was like shaking.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been in loud crowds.
They're not playing in that.
It was legit. I think it's good for the team.
Oh, it is. I mean, but it's an experience though. Like, it is a once in a lifetime experience.
They also have the best tailgate scene that I've ever been to. Now, I've never been to the Grove, but they have the best tailgate scene that I've ever seen. Like, it's incredible.
I think it's good. I think, I think it's great. I'm slightly traumatized. One year, somebody shook up a beer and poured it all over me. Another year.
Sounds like a regular night for you.
I've been assaulted by Tiger fans multiple years there. So I don't know how I feel about it being the best. But I'll tell you this. Their alumni are incredibly friendly. You don't want to walk down the side where the students tailgate. They are not so friendly. But the alumni from LSU are incredibly kind-hearted and friendly, at the very least, until kickoff.
Yeah. So, excited to get there. Florida State is a 2.5-point underdog, just like Florida is a 2.5-point underdog this weekend.
Right.
It's interesting to me that spread is as close it is.
Same.
Again, Vegas misses at times, but all other times they're really, really good. Like, the spread finished at 41 for the FSU Duquesne game, and it was.
I mean, it's almost like they're paid to do this.
So, I don't know. I think that Florida State. My takeaway from the game is, I honestly think it's a close game, and whoever has the ball last has a great chance to win it. Right. I think that Florida State. It would not shock me if FSU got out to a little bit of a lead. And started a little faster, just because it's a new era with Brian Kelly. Florida State had the tune-up game. Florida State had the warm-up. It would not shock me if Florida State went to the half with something like a 13-7 or 17-10, some kind of lead like that. I think that things tighten up incredibly in the second half. I think LSU roars back, and it really comes down to, can Florida State hold them off, or does LSU get all the way back over the hump and take the lead? If they take the lead, I think they end up winning. If they don't, I think if they don't take the lead, I like Florida State to hold on. Obviously, it could go a number of different ways, but I do think Florida State starts well in this game. I think they started well in a lot of games last year, and it was, second halves that kind of were their doom, right? Clemson, Florida. They kept things close in the first half a lot of games. They jumped out to a big lead against BC, jumped out to a big lead against Miami. And so I like Florida State to start somewhat quickly in this game. I just don't know if they can sustain it for a full 60 minutes. That said, you don't have to sustain it for a full 60 minutes. You just have to be better than your opponent. And so if Florida State's offensive line can hold up against their otherworldly defensive line, if Florida State's cornerbacks can hold up against their otherworldly wide receivers, then I like matchups in other places. I think that Jordan Travis is a better quarterback than Nussmeier or Jaden Daniels. I don't worry about that at all. I think that Florida State's running backs are really, really good. I think that Florida State's defensive line will give LSU's offensive line trouble, but LSU's strengths are at wide receiver and defensive line. Mm-hmm. And Florida State's, I don't know if I call them weaknesses, but my two biggest areas of concern are our offensive line, health reasons, and our secondary. And so does LSU take advantage of our strengths better, or do we take advantage of their weaknesses better, right? Because I do think Florida State's defensive line does really, really well against LSU's offensive line. I think Jordan Travis has a nice day against their secondary. It was one of Anthony Richardson's better games when he was on last year. And so I think that
LSU has a named starter, right? Is that that's a tactical advantage that they're going for? Is that
I guess if that's the way they want to spin that, but yeah, I their defense doesn't worry me as much. I think it's, their defensive line is good, but if we can protect,
right,
I think we'll be in good shape there. If we can't, it's going to be a long, long day. So I think it'll be close. I think that it'll go down to the wire, and hopefully we get lucky and come out with a win. I don't expect a win, but I don't expect to get blown out. Like, I honestly see it going one of three ways. I think that it's a close LSU win, it's a close Florida State win, or Florida State wins by like 10 or so. Like, I don't see LSU winning this game by like 17 points or anything.
See,
like
I'm
that.
Exactly the opposite. If it's not close, I think it's because LSU blew out Florida
State. I just don't think their offense can do that. I just don't. With Jaden Daniels there, they're just they've got five offensive linemen that have never started a game, and then a transfer quarterback who is just not very good.
They've got wide receivers that have been, you know, incredibly consistent and good from them. And Florida State's defense has gotten torched the last couple seasons by good wide receivers of their opponents. And so I think that that's, you know, an advantage for LSU. I think LSU's offensive line is probably a weak spot, only because they're breaking in a lot of new guys. So that'll be kind of an interesting thing to watch. I'm pretty sure that their left tackle is a true freshman. I don't know if they ended up, did they end up like finalizing that was the case? I had read a couple weeks ago that he was leading for the job, but you know, and this is the new start to the Brian Kelly era, right? So LSU is looking to make a statement win. It's a home game for them. I don't know if FSU sold out their half of the allotment of tickets or how that'll work, but anything that's sold on the street more than likely is going to be an LSU fan. Those guys are going to all have their family in attendance. It's going to feel like a home game for LSU more than likely. But I still feel like Norvell's an unknown kind of at this point. And Florida State is, even though we're heading into what this is his third year, we're heading into for Norvell. We still have not seen a whole lot. Right. And if LSU finished 7-6 and that was good enough to get a new head coach. So do they finish 7-6 or 6-7? I would have to Google it, but regardless, they better than that is the goal because you got a new coach. And I think that if you hit that for Florida State, you're kind of right where people expect you to be. So I think the ceiling is higher for this season for this LSU team, but I think that the unknowns are, you know, are maybe greater too. But I'm excited for this matchup. They don't play that often. I think like 6 or 7 times total ever. And it's fun, even though it's really stressful for these programs to start with such a marquee game. It's fun for us as fans to get to see these matchups that we don't normally get to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, I mean, I don't agree on all of that, but I do think it's going to be a fun opportunity. I think that one thing, for all of his shortcomings, I think that one thing Norvell does is get his team up for games. Yeah. Even games that they really shouldn't be in. They were a 17-point dog to North Carolina last year. They went in and blew them out. They were a dog to Miami last year. They won that game. They were a big dog to Clemson and had a lead with 3 minutes to go.
Sure.
So I think, you know, they were a big dog to Notre Dame to start the year.
Football Power Index gives LSU a 72.5% chance at a victory in week one opener. That's kind of interesting for as close as the line is that, 72.5 point is what the computers are saying, percentage shot, basically.
Which is interesting. And, you know, people love or hate the FPI projections. Again, I think that typically you're going to see like Vegas, you know, be a little bit more accurate than the FPI. So we'll see. But yeah, I would lean LSU here.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think LSU wins. I don't. I would not be surprised by a close game.
Unless you could be playing the 12 disciples, and you'd be like, "Nah, sorry, SEC."
Well, the 12 disciples would be playing for the SEC. I'm sure. Did you not understand that God is an SEC fan? Have you not watched the last 20-ish years?
But I
think it's going to be a fun game.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
You forgot the start of it, too.
I mean, I definitely forgot that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I could see it going either way, though.
Well,
it wouldn't shock me if FSU won. Like, what's your percent? Like, what's your score for this game?
That's a hard one. I honestly don't know that it's going to be that high scoring of a game. I'm thinking, like, 28-21 or 28-24, something like that.
And what's your, like, what would your percent confidence be?
I'm 75% sure LSU wins.
Let's do some picks and get out of here.
Let's do it.
All right. Utah is a 2.5-point favorite against UF. I know you're going to pick UF here.
Mm-hmm.
I think UF wins this game too, so I'll go on that side.
All right.
We're going to disagree on LSU. I'll go Florida State to cover the spread.
And I think LSU covers the 2.5-point spread.
No. I actually, if LSU wins, I actually think they win that, but I like the value on the FSU side. Okay, here's a big one. Ohio State is a 17.5-point favorite against Notre Dame.
So this is a wild one to me, and I know we talk about how Vegas usually gets things right, but I just feel like that is a really big spread, right? Like that. So I don't think Notre Dame wins, but I think Notre Dame covers.
I'm going to go Ohio State to cover just to be different.
Okay.
Pittsburgh's a 7.5-point favorite against West Virginia. I like Pittsburgh here.
I like Pittsburgh too.
Okay. And then UGA is a 17-point favorite against Oregon. That just seems way too high for me. No. But I still like UGA there. I don't believe that Oregon can do it.
No, I don't. That spread is much more believable to me than the Ohio State Notre Dame spread. I think Georgia covers the spread.
So you'll at least get three of these right because we picked together on three of them, and then we'll see what the other two, what ends up happening between the other two. I cannot wait to come back here next week. I hope I'm wrong twice, and I hope that Utah wins and FSU wins, obviously. But are you going to the game?
I am. I'm going to the game. Okay. I'm super excited to be there. See Napier's very first home game. I've been at the last, since Spurrier's first game, every home game of head coaches. So would not break the streak now. I'm excited to get back in our seats and see the crowd. I think that we're going to see some really good football, and I am here for it.
I am excited. All right, cool. Well, I appreciate Greg Brunt and Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204 for their support and sponsoring the podcast. We'll be back next. It'll probably be Wednesday next week, just for what it's worth. Maybe Tuesday, but
you got all this Labor Day complex that I don't know about, or?
Well, the game being on Sunday, I got to travel back on Monday. So I may just push everything back a week. So we'll see. If we can get Tuesday in, we'll do Tuesday.
You'll know
if
where not, to find me.
We'll figure it out. All right.
Just delay the talk you guys about lose. Your loss and my win. Is that?
I'm definitely screen recording that. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Go Noles.